Yes, Lord, that singing's got me singing and playing and listen, everybody praise the Lord. That's got me wound up. Thank the Lord. 1 Kings 17. If y'all don't mind bearing with me, since I'm reading so much, I'm going to let you keep your seat this morning. But I want this whole story. I'm going to read this story for the purpose of having it. I want you to have the whole story in your mind before I preach on it. And I think it'll be a help to you if I get the whole thing, and it won't take me 2 or 3 minutes to do it, but I think it'll be a help. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to begin the reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," speaking of Elijah, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son, and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And he said, and she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. That's the biblical definition of revival right there. That's to bring again to life. He revived. So the emphasis here is on individual. So when you're talking about these great revivals of everything, the individual revival is what the Bible puts the definition on, because you're not going to have any larger revival until you have an individual personal revival. Okay? And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray. But Dad, if you would, lead us in a word of prayer.
Lord, and the Father, we come to you today just thanking you for the reading of your word.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for your Bible. Lord, thank you for Jesus learning this and bringing it unto us. Yes. Lord, just let us apply it to our hearts and lives.
Help us.
Lord, thank you for the mothers that are here today.
Amen.
Lord, just thank you for the blessings you give us so far. Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you on the subject this morning on a woman of faith. Now, the reason I say a woman of faith is it took faith to do this, but we're honing in on this woman this morning, and I want to read something to you. You don't have to turn there, because we're going to be in this the remainder of the time mainly. But In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible talks about all these people who operate in the Old Testament under faith. And they were operating by faith. And I want to read one thing to you. If you go by it too fast, you'll miss it. This woman right here received her son back again. He died and received him back again. And Hebrews 11 verse 35, I'm talking about all these people who wax valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of aliens. All these things. Verse 35 says, women receive their dead raised to life again. She's one of these women right here. So here's a woman of faith. Here's a woman who got in the faith hall of fame, so to speak. Now I believe if we're going to study a woman in the Bible on Mother's Day, I believe this right here will be a pretty good woman to study. And she's one of the ones spoken of as somebody who had faith enough to be recorded in the Bible. And I believe that's something we ought to look at. Now, the thing is, it's easy to be faithful when we can see. Y'all, when I can see, I can see where this is going, I can see this is where this is headed and things like that. It's easy to have faith and say, man, I've just got faith in God. But brother and sister, when God brings you into hard times and you get through something tough and you can't see any way out of it and you don't see how that thing's supposed to turn out and you see, oh, this is terrible, I don't see anything good coming from this. It's harder to have faith there. This woman here had faith in a hard time. Look, they're living in a time Ahab and Jezebel are in charge. And man, they're as wicked as they can be. When I read these stories to you, I don't want you to think this is something that's so far out from our time and nothing we can apply to today. Look, what was going on then, we can learn from today. They had some of the most wicked leaders because a lot of people say, we can't get nothing done. And what? That's nothing new under the sun. The Bible tells you that. Ahab and Jezebel, you'll read 1 Kings 21 later, they picture the devil's workers perfectly. You know what? First, and I'm just getting into this thing. If they couldn't persuade you, they'd persecute you. They tried to persuade Ahab. Naboth. All right. What they do is they start off, and I'm just telling you the setting of what they're in. Here's Naboth. He's got a vineyard, and Ahab says, I want your vineyard. He tries to persuade him. He says, I'll give you a garden of herbs. He couldn't persuade him, so guess what they do? They persecute him. They end up killing him, getting false witnesses, and end up killing him. So don't think that the time frame that we're leading here, here's a woman of faith in the Bible going through a hard time both governmentally and physically too. They're in a drought. I mean, so both spiritually speaking, they're in a, why? All the prophets, they're going around killing all the prophets. So she's going through a spiritual battle and a physical battle. So y'all, sometimes you're going through things both spiritually and physically. And a lot of times you'll say, does the Bible have something for me? I want you to know you can get in that Bible and God will show you something. He's able to speak to your situation right there where you are. All these things are written for our learning. The Bible is so up to speed, you have to run to catch up with it. I want you to know that. Now the thing is too, you're going to see God will allow circumstances to bring people together who normally wouldn't even have got together. Y'all, if God don't allow certain things in our life, we're not going to cross paths with people unless God creates or allows a circumstance where you're going to cross paths with that person. So look, God's the one that's in control, and He knows what we need and who we need to get into it. Well, sometimes you have to run across somebody that rubs you the wrong way, so to speak. You know what they're doing? They say, well, they rub me the wrong way. Rubbing some of them rough edges off of you. I know with me, man, sometimes something will happen to me, and I'll say, and I get that left twitch, you know, it starts my eye. And then the Lord said, hold on just a minute, you had a rough edge there you didn't see. I need to rub that off for you.
Amen.
Here's these two getting in a certain situation together, and guess what? God puts them together to show them both things. Both things. Now, here's something I want you to see in this woman of faith. Number one, if we're going to learn some things from her, and we're going to learn from these examples, I want you to see the first thing in verse 12, she was productive. She was productive. Now, we need to be productive today. just sitting around not doing anything, not going to do any good. If we're going to be like this woman of faith here, we're going to have this example of being productive. And you'll notice in verse 12, she was productive in common things. That's a running theme throughout the Bible. You're going to see just in small, everyday, common things of what? The Bible said in verse 12, she's just gathering sticks down at the middle of that verse. That story fascinates me. Here's this woman of faith. You would think she was doing something great, just great big. What's this woman of faith doing? She's just gathering sticks. No big deal. She just, you know, during the day she's out planting her garden and she's out working around the house and stuff like that and doing what she can do. And God says, hey, there's a great woman of faith right there. I thought it was old so-and-so out here doing. Nope. There's my woman of faith is the one doing the common, everyday thing. Just being faithful in common, routine duty. No great big deal. Just getting up, going to work, making sure dishes are washed, making sure people she run into their path, she's being kind to them. You're not going to convince me that this woman wasn't being kind to other people. Whenever the man of God comes, she was kind to him. She wasn't being mean to everybody else and all of a sudden being kind to this other person. You better be being practiced on other folks so whenever God brings somebody and says, I want you to be kind to that, better be being practicing on other people. I've learned something. When people are kind to you, they've been being kind to somebody else. When people are being mean to you, that's not the first person they've been mean to. Don't think for a minute. And you know what I've learned too? You ain't even got to go run people down, other people. They already know anyway. They know about it. Just let God. I've learned that thing. God's able to take care of that in ways you never would have thought. So here's this lady. She's been commenting certain things. Look, what I want you to do, if you hear anything else in my preaching other than the Lord Jesus Christ bragging on Him, He's the Savior and all stuff, be common in the simple things of daily duty. Now, here's one of the things after this. Just being able to be in fellowship with the Lord. There was a little boy, and the story goes, he would peek into the circus sometimes. But he would always have to take a peek and things like that because he and his dad was raising him and he was helping his daddy and things like that. And one guy saw him peeking in the circus. He said, hey, you want to come in? And he said, no, not without my daddy. My daddy told me I need to wait on him. And he said, I tell you what, I'll give you the money to get in. He said, I know you're wanting to come in here. I'll give you the money. He said, no, my daddy told me not to come without him, and I'm not going to come without him. He said, look, he won't know. Just come on in. I'll help you. Don't worry about that. I'll come in, and then you can leave back out. He said, no, look, my daddy, if I really wanted to go, and I told him, he would give me the money to go. But he told me not to go without him. I want to take him where I go. I'm not going to go without him. He said, why don't you just come? I know you want to come real bad. Just come to this thing. And he said, look, right now, if I do it the way Daddy says, I can look him in the eye. But if I do it the way you're saying, I won't be able to look him in the eye. Yeah. I'd rather just do the simple thing and wait on him and take him with me. You know what we've got to realize? We need to make sure we can take the Lord with us and do the way that why, so we can look Him in the eye when it comes. Why? That keep that fellowship right. Y'all, what I'm trying to tell you is do the simple thing every day. Just keep doing, just keep going. You say, why do you keep saying it? Because it's that important. Why? The devil will make you think you're not doing enough. Look, if you're serving God in the common thing, that's what He wants you to do. Just the routine thing of doing what you're supposed to do. Now, I thought about this right here. Something small may be great to somebody else. And something, look, different people are operating in different things. The Bible says over in Job, go to the beasts and they'll teach thee. I got chickens and they walk around in the yard. And people, I didn't know this, but chickens eat ants. And these chickens go over there and they'll scratch around over that ant bed like that right there. And they'll just sit there and eat ants sometimes for 10 minutes at a time. And I thought about this. What lesson can I learn from this? You say, Brother Chase, out there watching chickens, I think it's interesting to see what they do. And so here's this chicken. It takes a twig and kind of just tosses it to the side. I was sitting there watching this thing, and this ant, that chicken wasn't nothing, it just tossed that twig to the side. An ant comes over there, and it was all that ant could do to pick that twig. I was still surprised that the ant could pick it up. And I thought to myself, that'll fit with the sermon right there. why some things that are just small little things they don't even think nothing of is a great thing to somebody else.
Right.
You're sitting there saying, why is so-and-so doing that? Why are they making sure? Y'all, some people it's a great thing. And some people it's a small thing. That's why we have to have that balance with each other. Why some things are small, some things are great. Some things that don't take you very much effort, like that chicken just took that twig, would take somebody else a whole lot of effort. Why? We're working together in this thing. And y'all, we're all, some things may not... Look, some people, if you don't have a bad back, it ain't nothing for you just to reach down and tie your shoe. But man, if you ever had your sciatic nerve cutting up, you have to sit down somewhere and situate yourself just right and put your foot up so you can tie your shoe. Some people, it's easy. And some people, things are... You gotta make sure when you're doing common things to keep that in mind. Now, here's another thing you got to realize too. You'll learn that the man or woman that doesn't neglect the little duties is pretty likely to be right on the bigger ones. Now, I thought about this. That'll match this verse. Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." I've heard people say, if I just had $1 million, I'd give 10% to church. Look, y'all, if what you'll do with $100, you'd do with $1 million. If you're faithful in a little bit, you'll be faithful a lot. A lot of people say, I wish I had that Bible knowledge of so-and-so. If you're not doing very much with what little bit you got, you're not going to do very much with a whole bunch anyway. You got to realize, if you can be trustworthy with a little thing, you got to give you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. This generation is missing out on the blessings of God. Why? It takes a long time to learn things. Some people want to get up there and be, I'm the boss of the company.
Yeah.
Well, it took that boss a long time. He had to be faithful with this one thing and be faithful in another thing and faithful in another thing and finally work their way up.
Amen.
Well, that's how it is in God's economy too.
Right.
He's not just going to fling you in there and say, all right, have at it. He's going to train you in this thing and train you in that thing and say, hey, you've been faithful in this and I'm going to put you up a little bit more. Why? Because if not, we wouldn't be able to handle the great big thing. This lady right here is a woman of faith. Why? She's just been faithful in a little thing, gathering sticks here, making the meal for her family and doing this. And God said, hey, I like that. I'm going to put you in the Faith Hall of Fame. Why? Just a common thing. You ain't got to get out here and do some great, big old great thing. Now, not only in the common thing, she was productive in that. She was productive in the careful thing. The verse 12 says she cared for her son. She's up here caring for her son. Now, I thought of this. All right, what do I need to be careful for? What do I need to be caring about? So I looked at my Bible, and I saw one thing when I looked up careful. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I thought, well, hold on a minute. She cared for her son, but the Bible said be careful for nothing. You know what I've realized? You're not truly being careful like you're supposed to be if you're not being prayerful. It says be careful for nothing, but everything in prayer. We're not having our cares balanced out if we're not praying.
Amen.
A lot of times we're being too careful, not enough prayerful. We need to get to the place where we'll pray about every single thing. I was reading a story about Stonewall Jackson, and he said he made it a common practice that even before he took a sip of his, whatever his drink was, whether it was tea or whatever, he said he made it a practice to thank God before he did. He said it was common for him just to keep a running conversation with the Lord. That's what you've got to do. You've got to get to where you just got to run in conversation with the Lord all the time. Be careful. And what I'm talking about is being prayerful is the true way to be careful. Here's another careful. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Didn't say it makes you have your salvation. It says men can't see your heart. All they can see is what they do, what you do. So you know what that Bible's telling you? If you're going to be careful about something, make sure you be careful to maintain good works.
Amen.
Well, that's the carefulness. I wish we cared more about how we behaved than what's going on in the world. Why? Because most of that stuff don't affect us anyway. Near as much as we like to think it does. You know what affects you is your relationship between you and God.
Amen.
You can handle all the other things that's going on whenever they come to you if you're in fellowship with the Lord. That's that she was careful And just in common things, she had to care for, she actually cared for her son. Just simple thing. I think that's important, just to do the simple things here. Now here's another thing too. She was productive in those two things. She was productive in the corrective thing. Now here's a hard one right here for me. Elijah said to her, she said, "Man, all we got is just enough, we're going to eat this and just die. There's nothing left after this." Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." Say, fear will mess you up, man. Fear will mess your thoughts up.
Amen.
Fear of dying and things like that. Here's this lady. She said, well, and he knew she was fearful. She was afraid her and her family were going to die. And he said, "You don't need to fear that. You know what you need to do?" He said, "And go and do as thou hast said, but make me," look at that, "first." Elijah said, "You're going to put me first." You know what that, in corrective thing, look, she had to correct her way of thinking. A lot of times, our fearfulness is us putting us first, us first, us first. And you know what he's saying? You want to be a woman of faith? Put somebody else above your own self.
Yeah.
You get to the place where you put God in His place and you fear God over other things, it'll correct all your other ways of thinking. He said, "I want you to make me a cake first." Why? Not because he thought he was any better, because that's what God had told him to do, so she can correct her mind state and be a woman of faith. Look, first things first, we say. That's what we say right there. She was productive in putting herself last. Look, once you get to the place where you say Jesus first, others next, yourself last, that's that old acronym of joy right there. That keeps you balanced out, and that'll keep the joy in your life. When you get to where you're starting to put others, 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 that makes things flow like that's the corrective thing. And I thought about this right here. It said, "Me first." What are some things that in our mail for today, what are some biblical things for me to correct my own self, and for you, if you're going to be in the faith like you're supposed to and practice faith like this lady? Here's a few things I looked at the word first all through Pauline epistle, and here's a few of them. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt," watch this, first "in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice," or Eunice, whatever that is, "and I am persuaded that in thee also." You know what that's showing you? First was in the grandmother, then the mother, then the child. You know what it's supposed to, you're supposed to transfer that thing down. Transfer it down. You know, I thank God for some grandmothers. I thank God for some godly mothers who transferred that faith down.
Amen.
You know what we're supposed to do? Just say, "Hey, I believe the Lord. I believe the Bible." And go along, which they got their own free will, and we know that. But our job is to transfer and keep that transfer going. Keep going. That's putting God first, that's putting others first. When you say, "I know right now I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on. But I'm keeping my faith in my Lord."
Amen.
And the Lord is able to handle whatever comes our way. And I tell you something, that will correct a whole lot of things that's going on up here. Why? Just keep putting God first. Keep transferring. You know what we're doing here? That's what I love. You know what we're doing right here? Just keeping the thing going. Let me tell you something. The world, the flesh, and the devil would love for the church just to completely shut down. I'm going to tell you something. I got news for the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ was here a long time ago, and it survived all kinds of things, and it's going to keep going, and it's going to keep going, and it's going to keep going. Why? Because it's on a rock. It's on a rock, my friend, and it cannot go anywhere. Everything else, all these movements that come up and things like that, guess what? They're all on sinking sand. Where are they? Movements and governments and things like that have creeped up, and crazy people are. Where are they now? There's been people along through the years that said, "We're going to put the thing under. We're going to burn all the Bibles. We're going to burn all the Christians. There's going to be none left." Guess what? They're gone.
That's right. That's right.
We're still here. You know what? This Bible and these churches are going to still be here when all these people who hate them so bad are gone.
Amen.
If anything that's in Christ will last, and everything else will fade away.
Amen.
I love being on the winning side. It's nothing like it. You don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to sit there and go, "Oh, Lord, what are you going to do?" He said, "It's my church, and I said that anything in me would last." You know what I like about this right here? Everything we've done today is going to go out through eternity. Just going to ripple all the way out through eternity. We're being a part of something that God is going to have way, way out there further than our imagination can go. It's just going to keep going. Why? It's in Christ. Here's another thing first. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You know what you can do? Give yourself. You can say, Lord, I don't know what all You want me to do, but I am Yours. Can you say that today? That's the first thing. That's a first right there. That's one of the first things for God, You're mine. I don't know who else, and I can't help anybody, whatever everybody else does. But God asked for me.
Amen.
And my house, we're Yours. We're Yours, God. And I'll tell you something, that'd be a good first right there. Here's another first. 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. He said, look, the things that you don't have, don't even worry about it. He said, all that I'm going to reckon is what you have. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit or if you have a whole lot. He said, man, if you got a willing mind, you say, Lord, this is all Yours. It's all Yours. You can have it. Brother, the Lord can bless. He can make crumbs into cakes.
Yes.
Now, the Lord Jesus Christ can do everything that you've ever thought was wonderful. He can take it and make it into something.
Amen.
Say, Lord, what is this? All I have is just this. He said, you just give it to me and let me do something with it. I can take a few loaves and a few fishes and I can feed multitudes.
Amen.
You know what He'll do? He'll take you a little bit and make a lot out of it. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now here's the tough one on me. Lord, I want to thank You for my enemies. Lord, I want to thank You for men and women that don't like me. That's rough, man. Why? Because, Lord, I know they're there for a reason too. Lord, I want to thank You for those nasty mosquitoes. Why? He made them. I can't stand a mosquito. I'll put a bruise on my arm trying to kill one. But you know what? God made them. You know what? He made them on nasty flies. I hate them. But they're God's. He made them. You know what we've got, folks? And if you're anything like me, there's people I say, Lord, if I had the power and I wasn't saved, I'd strike them. He said, that's unbiblical. The Lord had disciples. He said, Lord, this time we command, I have to go back to that all the time. Why? That's that flesh.
Amen.
Can you thank God for all men? All men. Why? You know what the Bible says about all men? He wants all men to be saved. And Lord, I'd like to see them get saved, Lord. I'd like to see them get saved. Why? Look at us. And I may not even get to that point. But y'all, we're watching one another grow in the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice for some of those folks that's so mean and just downright just ugly? Wouldn't it be nice to see them get saved and serve God and say, praise the name of Jesus Christ. That person right there once was lost, but now is found. Once was blind, but now they see. Brothers, that's how I was. I bet somebody said, that Chase Messenger, I can't stand that cat. You know what? The cat turned around.
Amen.
Ain't that nice? Walked the right way now.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something, man. It's nothing like seeing people serve God. Some of those people that was out there just doing everything in the world and watching them grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing, nothing like it.
Amen.
You've got to get that in. Why? Because you don't want to carry that load of bitterness around with you.
Right.
Now here's another thing too. Told you now to come back home already. I'm a preach an hour sermon in 20 minutes maybe. She was in, not only that, she was productive. She was in on God's program. I want you to get with this. And I won't give you all the things I was, but she cared for the ministry. What's that? The Bible says in Luke 1 verse 70, speaking of the Lord, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets. Okay? So that was their program then. Okay, in verse number 15, if you'll look here, she was in on God's program. Elijah told her what to do, and she does it. Now, the thing what I want you to see there is, we're supposed to be in on God's program. Now, I want to read a verse to you on God's program for today. And I was going to read Romans 15:25 and go into all that. But I want to get this down. I want you to see. I want you in on God's program. The Bible says in Acts 15, verse 14, the Apostle Paul has been saved. And these disciples, Peter and the rest of them, are starting to get in on what God's doing. And in verse 14, he says, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out a people, or to take out of them a people for His name. That's what He's doing right now. Why? Because He said in verse 15, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen. He's going to go back dealing with the Jews. You know what He's doing right now? He is taking out a people for His name. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of saving souls. You know what He's in the saving business. He's in the creating business. He created the stars. He created the world. He created all those angels and the seraphim and the cherubim, the archangels, all that stuff. But you know what He's doing right now? Creating new creatures in Christ. That's what He's doing. Y'all, if we're not in on God's ministry, on God's program, what are we doing? What are you doing? But I'm going to tell you this right here. If you're in on what God's in on, He will take every little thing you do and bless it all abundantly above anything you could ask or think. There's no telling what you're going to see on the other side over there. Man, I tell you something. Man, those folks over here, I know we got some folks that give. That's like y'all helping. I tell you, man, I got to be careful. I know I give too much information. But look, I know for a fact some of y'all help me in ways you'll never know. Some of you, I can call and pray with you. Some of you send me texts. Some of you give and things like that. All of you have got things you do. But I'm going to tell you this. One of these days, I pray for you all. I say, Lord, bless them till the nets break.
Amen.
God, you know, when Simon Peter obeyed the Word of God and they threw the nets over there and they started drawing that thing, the Bible said, look, the nets just break. I hope the nets break on you, man. I hope it just spills out and you get so many fishes in your boat, the boat starts sinking, man. Go, look, we're going to give some of these fish to other folks. Why? Feed them too. Man, get them all to the Lord. Feed them all to the Lord. Look, you can't out... I know that saying's old, but it's true. You can't outgive God, my friend. Man, just give your all. She cared for the ministry. She did what this guy said. Now look, sometimes God will transplant you. That's like with Elijah, guess what's happening? He's transplanting Elijah. I was going to go over the verse in Jeremiah 48:11 where it talks about from vessel to vessel so they don't settle on their lees. You take some of these trees and man, have you ever seen like some of these trees look like Christmas trees? Well, they're not native to our area. But you can transplant them, plant them from one place to another so other people can enjoy their beauty. We've got a tree, we call it Shallows Tree. What's the name of that tree? A Japanese cherry blossom. And the kids get up in there. It's real pretty. It's got some of the prettiest blossoms. They get up in there and we take pictures and stuff like that. It's not native of here. It's been transplanted to this area. Now you say, how was Elijah transplanted? Look, once he was at his own home. I've got the verses. Then God emptied him into another vessel in Jezreel. Then into another vessel at Cherith here in chapter 17. And now into another vessel at Zarephath. Why? So he didn't settle on his lees and get fermented. Get to the place where he wasn't good for anything. You know what happens? Sometimes we get settled. And we just settle down and settle down and say, I'm just comfortable right here in my service. And God says, hold on just a minute now. I'm about to transplant you because I want you in a different situation because you're beautiful in the Lord. Not that we don't have any beauty of ourselves, but the Lord's shining in and through you. I'm about to empty you in another vessel somebody else can enjoy you. Man, I'll tell you something. There was a little girl and she was talking to a preacher and things like that. And this preacher, she said, what could I study about the Lord? And the preacher said, what do you like? And she said, I love flowers. He said, I want you to go study flowers and study aromas in the Bible and fragrances in the Bible and come back and talk to me about it. And the little girl went and she studied. And next time she saw the preacher, he looked and he said, little girl, what have you found out about flowers? She said, well, I did find out this. They get to give out the best aroma whenever they're trampled on. I tell you something. You talking about us sometimes, when you're a flower of the Lord, sometimes God will allow you to be trampled on so somebody else can see how you went through that thing and you give off that aroma. You would have never, never give off that fragrance had you not been trampled on a little bit.
Yeah.
You say, why does persecution come? This, look, you wouldn't have give out your fragrance. Look, we've got these fragrance things that you walk in that house, man, and you say, man, that smells like vanilla. I like vanilla. And you know what that is? That's a fragrance. It's on a heating thing, and that it heats it up and melts it, and that aroma just goes in there. You know what? Sometimes things are heating up. And the Lord said, I'm needing some Christian fragrance around here.
Yeah.
That's what that thing is. That's what's going on with this lady. And oftentimes, that goes on with you. Now, another thing, too, I want you to see, she cared for the ministry. She saw a miracle. Now, look, I want you to see this thing right here in verse number 16. In the bottom of the verse, it said, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. Now, what's the miracle she saw? A lot of people say, well, she saw her boy raised and all that stuff. That's wonderful. But you know what the miracle is? The Bible said the Lord spake by Elijah. What did Elijah say in verse 14? For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know what that says? Right down here, the Bible tells you it was many days in verse number 15. Look at, you say, how long was the many days? Look at chapter 18, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. What does that do? It gives you the definition of it. You know what you're finding out? The miracle was this. She watched every day. She went and she said, there's nothing here. She would go when it was time for them to eat. There was something in there for her to eat. She watched this thing go on for years and years. Went on God providing for her when she saw no other way. And God says, watch this. It'll be there tomorrow. There's nothing, Lord. You wonder why she was in the Faith Hall of Fame? She saw no way. No way out. Every day she'd go right back to that barrel, and there was something in that barrel for her. You know what you're doing? Here you are. You don't see what God's going to do the next day. God, how? You get to the next day, and there's oil and there's meal in that barrel. Again. You say, but Lord, there's nothing there for tomorrow. He said, I got grace sufficient for the day. It's daily bread. Daily bread. Man, you get in there and you say, Lord, I don't see any bread. I don't see any meal. I don't see nothing tomorrow. Look, my oil never runs out. My meal never runs out. All you got to do is keep coming back. Keep coming back. He's got all you need. Brother, that's what I... That's the miracle she saw. Watching the Word of God get performed. You say, well, the Word of God said this. You know what you're doing? And I'm doing it too. The Word of God said the Bible is able to build you up. I have literally come to the barrel. I come and I see y'all and I watch that meal and I watch that oil perform daily. I've watched you grow in the Lord. Well, your Word says you grow them, Lord. You know what it's doing? I'm watching Christians grow. There's nothing like it, man. I'm watching. You just dip into that barrel. So, man, I've just been going right back to that same Bible. Been going right back. Brothers and sisters, I've been going right back to the same barrel. And it just never dry. There's something there every time. I go back and I can point you and I can say, you may not have anything out there, but I tell you what, here's the barrel. Go back and there's going to be plenty of oil and plenty of meal. I'm telling you something, it has never let me down. It'll never let you down. She saw the miracle. Now here's the last thing and I'll close. She went beyond her own perception. Now look, one little girl said there's a difference between a pessimist and an optimist. An optimist goes by the goal and the vision of the Lord. A pessimist is always worried about what's the next thing. I'm already worried about what my feet's going to trip on, or always worried about what they can see. But an optimist is going by the vision and the goal of God. That's going to keep you having the right perception. This lady right here, she went beyond her own perception. I thought about Mr. J. Wilbur Chapman. He held up a sheet of white piece of paper with it. He had a great big old sheet of paper back then. This would have been large, about like this right here, maybe a 3x3, something like that. And he put one little black dot on that white piece of paper. And he said, "What do y'all see?" They said, "A black dot." And he said, "Why don't y'all see all this white? Why don't you see the big picture thing?" You know what we do? We focus on, if y'all are anything like me, you know that's that flesh, focusing on that one little thing. You say, "How do you know it's the flesh? I can eat of all these other trees, devil, but I can't have that one. All I can do is see that one little dot. I can't see all this other." You know what we do oftentimes? All we can do is see that one little speck, that one little speck, that one little speck. And the Lord says, "Yeah, but you missed the boat." You know what we're doing? We're worried about the speck all the time.
Right.
Worried about that speck. When God says, "I want you to have a complete different perspective and go beyond your own perception." He'll help you with it. That's what she's done. She got in on God's plenty. Verse number 16. Look. She gets here and she sees the Word of God coming to pass. Now I thought about this right here. Here she is with all these things going on. And God's changing her focus. You know what the old saying is? People are so worried about, you know, if you ever heard about people talking about roses. I've got a friend, he talks about roses sometimes. He's talking about clipping roses, but he's a lot more humble than he gives himself credit for. But he said, "Man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be clipping rose bushes." I said, "Man, in heaven they're not going to have no thorns." But you know what? A lot of people say, "Man, these roses have thorns." And a lot of people are glad the thorns have roses. Now, I was reading a story about this little boy, and he went out and got a whole bunch of blackberries for his mother. And so a preacher walked by and said, "Young man, where are you going?" The man, he had a big old bucket of these blackberries. He said, "I'm taking these to my mama. She loves when I got these blackberries." And he looked at his feet. He said, "Son, your feet are just completely torn. They're bleeding. What have you been doing?" He said, "What I do is," he said, "when I go show mama all these blackberries, I hold the blackberries up real high and I don't say anything about the briars." You know what we got to do? We got to start holding the blackberries up and don't say so much about the briars.
Amen.
Why? Because folks want to see those blackberries and that fruit of those blackberries. You know what we all tend to do? I'm telling you this. Enemy culprit number one. Instead of holding up and saying, "Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." So all these briars. "Look at my feet. Look at how I got cut. Look at how..." Brother, just brag on the blackberries. And man, I know I had to go through some thorns to get it, but look at this fruit, this come about because we walked through all those briars. It was worth every bit of the briar. Thank God He took the thorns for us. And man, it's worth every... Look, if you could just catch a glimpse... I don't have the oratory for it, but only the power of God can let you see. If you could just catch a glimpse of glory... Every bit of briar patches you walk through is worth it.
Amen.
Why? Because you taste those blackberries. Man, just get a little taste of where you're going. Man, sometimes I get just a glimpse of glory and I say, "Lord, we're so close. We're so close." I want them to see it. Not only she got in on God's plenty, but here's the last thing. She got in on God's power. I want you to see this thing. Resurrection is the power of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, "For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God." That's the power of God. She got in on that resurrection right there. That's the power of God. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be like lights, holding up the Lord Jesus Christ. You carry a lamp around, and you know what that lamp does? How's that lamp shining? Because it's holding light. That's how we're supposed to do. Hold forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them see the Lord Jesus. Here's the conclusion. She got in on God's peace. That's what I want y'all to have. Church, I want y'all to have peace of God that passeth all understanding. You think about the peace that came when she said, "I know now that thou art a man of God." It said that the word of the Lord is in thy, and in thy mouth is truth. She saw the truth, and that gave her peace. That gave her peace. Now, I want you to know this, and man, look, I'm just excited to be preaching y'all. I'm closing out with this. Y'all, the Bible said we got victory in Jesus because of the resurrection. You know what they do? Man, if you ever read about David and Goliath, back then what they would do is they would take two champions and they would fight them. And the one that won, his side was declared to be the victor. Now you think about the two champions. God and the devil. They stood up there, man, and don't you know all the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places and all these dominions and everything else. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing alone up there facing them all. And He said, I'll face you, not only your champion, I'll face all of you all at once. And they get up there on Calvary's hill. My friends, don't you know, they said, we got him, he's dead. And man, that old body kicks off, you know, this outward shell kicks off. And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ down there to their domain. Who's at the door? Can anybody come down? Are we supposed to go get them? Y'all supposed to be going to get these. Who just got out? Why is somebody knocking on the door? All of a sudden the door opens up. What's happening? Who's got the keys? Somebody put the keys on the nail. What's going on right here? What kind of place we're running around here? The Lord comes in and says, hey, don't worry about it. I got the keys. I've got the keys. Now, nobody is taking them from me. Why? Our champion conquered death, hell, and the grave. There's nothing they could do about it. My friend, we've got a Savior, and He's already conquered it all. Our David took that stone and hit right in the head on Calvary's hill.
Amen.
We've already got the victory. Sometimes you just got to get in on that, and sometimes you got to realize the victory you have. You know, the last thing this morning, here we are, the last thing, if you're saved, that you have to worry about is getting to the place where you got to worry about the devil or anything else. Why? Because he may get this old flesh body. But brother, my soul is saved. It's secure in the arms of Jesus, safe in His arms. We've got the victory. Sometimes you just got to grab a hold of it and say, look, the last thing I got to worry about is going to hell. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is already saved. I'm saved.
Amen.
Saved by the power of God. I hope you're saved this morning. If you're saved, I hope you're going to be like her in that Faith Hall of Fame. You just got those simple things you're doing. You know what that'll do? That'll give you the walk you need to stay in that sweet fellowship, and that sweet fellowship will lead you to peace. Let's pray and close out.